like a true union member.
That's not my department. I turn light bulbs on. Find the other guy. To find Todd Gorger to turn them off.
All right. We're going early. 15-second turn. It's a holiday edition, so you get more Rick for your buck. All right. 18 seconds after the hour of noon in this month of July. I don't have to worry about that unpleasant noon June rhyme anymore. After the month of, in the month of July and so forth. Know what I'm doing. I can't spell today either. Do you ever have one of those days where you sit down? Like, do you ever do this? Do you have one of those days you sit down at a keyboard and you just can't type to save your life? It's like your fingers have become Ebert-sized all of a sudden, and there's just...
And it's then like, you say, that looks fine, and you look back at it an hour. How did I write that? That makes no sense at all.
It's like you're typing with your elbows or a whole fist. Sloth like to type, and you just can't do it to save your life. Some days it's like that with the speaking. I think today is one of those days. Anywho, it's blah, 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 in the month of July, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the lushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Is it any one of those noises where all the ambient noises seem a lot louder than normal? I swear to God, I just heard you adjust your coffee cup on the countertop over there.
I did.
Pick up your coffee cup and set it down again. Maybe not.
All I mean, if you want to hear a worse noise, have an MRI done on yourself.
What?
They're the loudest things on the planet.
Where did that come from?
Well, I had one done this morning, and it was deafening.
We've taken it in a sharp hair. This is why you don't want to tune out for even a moment, even on holidays. I just didn't expect that. I was talking about a coffee cup and a microphone and said, if you think that's bad, try scraping the fur off a skull in the dead of night in the woods. That's loud. Well, okay. So an MRI is loud.
Loud, it's deafening.
Okay.
You feel like you've been put in a torture chamber and you can't move for 30 seconds between pictures.
Is an MRI the thing that they strapped Reagan into in The Exorcist? You know where she goes into the metal tube and it's like shaking her around?
Uh-huh. And you got earphones on to listen to music that you can't hear. It's like, pick something relaxing. Enya.
So it's a whole lot of... And then in the background, there's a lot of... All right.
Exactly.
Off to a flying start already. You see, a Rick Emerson Show holiday edition is Monday, July 3rd. While everybody else is shoveling out tedious crap and pointless, ridiculous, redundant best-ofs, we are here providing you with brand-new crap because Rick Emerson cares. It's 503-733-2970. Monday, July 3rd is what it is. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. I don't know where to go from there. Here's what we got coming up today. Because we are heading into the 4th of July holiday tomorrow, we've got the Rick Emerson's Democracy on the March coming up today. News from Florida. And Tim has made the option, by the way, that Arizona is becoming the new Florida.
Yep.
And because, I think it's because of the heat. And I think after a while, the heat just bakes your brains, and suddenly you start doing things that you wouldn't do if you lived in, say, Montana.
Anything that's read on the USA Today weather chart is trouble.
I think it was Todd the Corpse was actually telling us that he I don't know, when he goes to check his mail or something, it's the Yahoo mail, and there's the legend that tells you how hot it's going to be, and it's like a little thermostat, and then the thermostat has like a sun next to it or whatever, and he said that actually, for several days last week, the thermostat actually had, it was on fire. There was like a little, that was the icon, is that the thermostat was enveloped in flame. And you see places in the country where it's like that all the time, like Arizona for one. And I've told the story before about how my mom, when she was growing up, she lived in Death Valley for a time, and so I was never allowed to complain about the heat ever. Because it was sort of like the story to Trump all story. Hey, Mom, it's hot. I lived in Death Valley. And she lives in Kennewick, where, by the way, it was 108 last week. So I'm trying to get one over on it. I was having lunch with my mom, or my mom's, as the kids say, yesterday. And I was, well, it was all hot here. It was 104. It was 108 in Kennewick. So I still can't complain about it. But if you live in a place where it's hot, slowly but surely you just go mad. And so, to that end, not only do we have Florida news, but we have Arizona news today as well. Speaking of Florida, except it's not, it's Texas, right? Lisa Goddard, is that where she is? Cape Canaveral?
She didn't check in with me. I don't
Kennedy?
Know.
Oh. Sorry?
Cape Canaveral would be in Florida.
I think we've established, though, that I don't know what I'm talking about. She is at Cape Canaveral, Florida.
Well, I think we've established you'd talk to her wherever she is.
Yes, it is true. Okay. Except I have a reason today, because the space shuttle's apparently falling apart. It's apparently held together with like craft glue. You'd think that they would check the... Look, I don't mean to sound cynical. Well, I can make jokes. No one died yet. But you would think that they would... Didn't... Look, I don't mean to be morbid about this, but let's just call it what it was. Wasn't it just like two launches ago that it blew up?
Yeah, they, you know, it's like dragging a gas tank behind the car. It'll be fine.
It really is like that. Or like that guy you used to see around your block sometimes, where he didn't have a gas cap, and so he just stuffed a rag. There was a guy who lived across the street from me. And it was either, no gas cap, fine, just stick a sponge in there. Clogging it up with an old shirt.
Gotta go up. We just played the national anthem, and it's the 4th of July. What kind of a country would we be?
What could possibly go wrong? Well, anyway, pieces of the space shuttle are apparently falling away. Anyway, like so much of vehicular dandruff. In any event. Hey, vehicular, that's funny. I'm going to reuse that later. I'm going to use that when Lisa Goddard calls in. I bet she'll laugh. She started having an over-under on whether I can make her giggle with childlike schoolgirl-esque glee at my witticisms. Sarah's picking things off her eyebrow right now.
I laugh.
All right. Let's see what else. Jim Roop's going to be here later. Jim Roop, by the way, and I swear to God this is true, I'm reading it off the CNN thing. Jim Roop, you think your day is bad. Jim Roop is going to be spending tomorrow talking to children about what Independence Day means to them. It doesn't mean anything to them. They're children. They're idiots. But he'll be talking to them about that anyway. What else? We'll get your incendiary stories, because we're coming up on the 4th of July. So later on, we'll do today's high concept topic, which will be, it will be this one time we had some fireworks. We'll do that later on. There's people working today as well. I don't know who they are, but apparently they're out there. Like USA Today did a big story about people who have to work today. At either way, like Clyde, it falls into this category. Sometimes people have to work today and tomorrow. Like if you are a migrant, for example, or you work
Comcast.
Or you work at NORAD. Yes, or Comcast.
It's going to bring the box back that doesn't work.
If you got to go out and you find customers' couches to sleep on. Have you seen that video of the Comcast guy falling asleep on the customer's couch?
No.
Oh, it's genius. There's this video going around the net. It's real, by the way. Comcast guy, and by the way, we love Comcast.
They do. They gave me a brand new DVR box the other day. Mine didn't work. There were six people in line within like 2 minutes. And she was telling me this very seldom happens.
They replaced their faulty products almost immediately. No, there was. This is my fourth story.
Box.
There was some Comcast guy that came over to fix some dude's stuff. And what is he? The guy's like, okay, I'll be in the bedroom. You just let me know whenever this cable is fixed. The homeowner comes out of his bedroom and the Comcast guy is asleep on the sofa. So what does the guy do? He goes and he gets the video camera and he films the Comcast guy asleep on the sofa. What does he mean? Puts it on the net. Thank you, YouTube. Anyway, I don't even know what we're talking about. Oh, yeah. So maybe you're working today and tomorrow. Maybe you're only working today. If you're working today, it's a so-called orphan day, meaning that it's isolated. You work today and then you have tomorrow off. In any event, we want to hear from you if you are working for the man today.
It's the most unproductive day of the year.
It really is. And nobody doing anything today. I can't imagine. I don't understand why anybody's even open today, because what are you going to be? You're just going to be sitting there either picking your toenails. Nobody's going to be doing anything productive today. That's all coming up. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented and somewhat flambéed Sarah X. Dillon. How are you?
Good, yeah. I am a little burned.
A little pink.
Yeah.
Where were you at? You were floating out on the river this weekend?
Yeah, both Saturday and Sunday.
Now, you would think that you would learn by now, because you're a very white person.
I know.
And you burn a lot. Now, do you just forget, or do you put it on and then not reapply?
I just don't put it on at all.
Oh, you know, I do that.
But I had really bad lines, so I kind of needed one good scorching to get rid of my tank top lines.
I don't know that that's really worked.
It has, though.
Okay.
No, you just can't tell.
All right.
Underneath this bright red facade is a golden tan that's waiting to come out.
Okay. Whatever you say. I learned, because I got the big nose, and I learned that I got it, man, I got to put on like SPF like 500 if I go out. Because my nose is a huge solar panel. And it just absorbs all of the sun's rays. And then it becomes big. And there's no, you don't want to be that guy, and everybody knows this guy, where you walk into sales meeting You know, a conference meeting, you're in the kitchen, you're buttering bagels together, and then there's some guy who's fallen asleep on the beach in his sunglasses. You do not wish to be that guy. And everybody knows that it's simply a human mistake. It's something you do. Sometimes you fall asleep in the sun. You still look like a tool. You don't want to be that guy. So I take care of very many, many steps to not be that guy. Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
Teenagers, be warned that fireworks accidents will permanently disfigure you and leave you unpopular and dateless for the prom. A dog found licking the flesh of a dying woman is now available for adoption to a loving home. It loves people. A man with a grenade tells the family, you're all going to die. And NASA may be telling the shuttle astronauts the same thing as foam falls off the fuel tank of the spacecraft just before liftoff.
You are cleared for fiery immolation.
It's 503-733-2970. I can make that joke. My tax dollars are paying for that shuttle. Any of my best friends are astronauts. Yeah, okay, there you go. So there's that, and we got people already calling in to say that they're working today. What else? Well, that's it. 503-733-2970. 503-733. This is normally the place where I would insert a witty, relatable anecdotes about my weekend. But there's no time. Because it's going to trigger a huge rant, and I just don't even want to start. 503-733-2970. We'll get to these calls, etc. It is Monday, July 3rd. Ladies and gentlemen, he is your personal savior, whether you like it or not, at the City Desk. It's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, live on the 3rd of July, CBS presents the City Desk Newsfeed. Tim Riley reporting. Okay, we have a barrel of these violent holiday stories. I'm going to rattle them off quick and stop me if you want details.
Are these all from the same state, or these are violent holidays? Just from
here. We're going to start with Oregon because we've got a bunch of them.
Here's the great thing. See, because tomorrow, now, you know, we're going to be doing kind of our 4th of July sort of songs and all that stuff today, because then tomorrow is our annual Christmas in July show, which will climax, as it always does, with the playing of Behind the Christmas, an original radio play by the Rick Emerson Show cast. Clyde will be here for that tomorrow. And then, because we have this bit that we do as we get towards the holidays about the joy of Xmas, which is really a horrific thing that have happened to people as we head towards the holidays. So it is appropriate that we have horrific. Are these maimings?
There's a little bit of everything. There's a grab bag, something for everybody here.
It's a cornucopia of holiday violence. Fantastic.
So stop me if you want more details. I'll do these headline stuff. All right. Dallas, Oregon, one person is killed after trying to pass an RV on busy Highway 99W and ending up on the side of the road. That's why I stayed overnight when I went to the coast.
Oh, there you go. Now, I bet it is in an area that's clearly marked no passing.
It is the safety zone.
Now, what is the safety zone?
The safety zone is marked because people keep getting killed because they're driving foolishly.
Now, yep. Now this is the safety zone where there's just a big, solid yellow thing that's like, don't be an ass. Right. Don't. Look, I hate to sound like they were asking for it, but you drive foolishly, you get what's good. Nature has a way of just sort of balancing things out. You're deeply stupid and you don't know how to drive. Bam! You don't have kids of your own that drive badly. All right, there you go. And they were in an RV?
They were passing an RV. And
that seems really smart. What could possibly go wrong? Honey, there's a big thing ahead that's blocking the entire road. Also, there's a solid yellow line indicating that we may die if we try to pass. Should we pass? Sure. Okay, let's go. Bam. End of that story. There you go.
Meanwhile, fireworks are the likely cause of a fire that left six people homeless and damaged two Southwest Beaverton apartments.
That's about time something happened to the suburbs. I'm tired of everything happening in my neighborhood.
One man is dead, three seriously injured when a Gresham police car collided with a minivan at Northwest 188th and Gleason. You live in Gresham? You either die a violent death or drown. Every day.
And no one will be there to bring flowers to your funeral, because they're probably in prison.
People keep drowning in the Clackamas River, and people aren't listening now. Two young men in their early 20s drowned swimming near the Carver boat ramp. They didn't make it. A teenager shot and killed by a homeowner who thought the boy was breaking into his house in Albany. Apparently, Jeremy O'Sullivan and an unknown accomplice drove a stolen car into Bruce Gosnell's backyard. They stole the car after breaking into a home a few blocks away.
Well, so it seems likely that they were...
The owner of the house knew they were coming.
I don't understand. So first of all, Jeremy O'Sullivan?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I just picture a guy with like a tilted fedora with like his sleeves rolled up and like a bunch of tattoos and like a brogue. All right, so So the Fighting O'Sullivan brothers, they stole a car.
Uh-huh.
And then they
drove into a backyard.
But they did burgle a house?
Yeah, they did.
And then they were on their
way to burgle another one, allegedly.
Let's just call it. Well, they're dead. They're dead. What are they going to say? They were on their way to burgle a second house. I defy anybody to prove otherwise. The prima facie evidence would indicate that they were on their way to commit the third crime within about an hour. Mm-hmm. And so he just shot him dead?
The owner of the house shot the kid. Yeah.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm. That's that.
Excellent. Fantastic. You know what it is? Here's the thing. That is more time that the justice system can spend on this woman who destroyed Sarah Dillon's car. That's it. It's one more case we don't have to process. And I'm as big a bleeding heart as the next person. But you're breaking into a guy's house. That guy comes after you with a gun. You get what's coming to you. You die and you deserve it. I shed not a single tear for them. They're waste of skin.
Firefighters are battling to contain a 60-acre wildfire in Estacada.
What is there to even lose in Estacada?
It's like trying to say Baghdad.
What's even out there? All right. Well, there you go.
Okay. To the banks of sound cuts we go.
And somebody's getting an instant message. Mm-hmm. I think we ought to start instituting a fine for that, by the way. Mm-hmm. We used to have this fine. If you tried to speak and you'd forgotten to turn your microphone on, you were fined $1.
No, Nate's being a jerk today. He's being grumpy because I don't like doing dishes. So we got into a dispute, so that was a little...
You don't even live together.
I know! I was made breakfast. I don't do the dishes properly.
Okay, hold on. Where were you? Well, whose house were you at?
Yours
or his?
We're over at his house, so we have this agreement. If he cooks, then I'll do the dishes. But I don't know, all the secret rules that you're supposed to do.
Sponge and soap.
Yeah, exactly.
Wash.
I clean the dishes. I didn't know that going with the dishes means that you have to wipe down the entire counter and make sure that all of them are properly put away. It just seems really anal retentive. So
now, what do you think doing the dishes?
Okay, I think normally, it's just cleaning the dishes.
Normally, I'm inclined to be in your... I'm usually in your corner by these things just by default, but this does seem... I know there's some lingo involved in certain elements of life, but this seems... What do you think cleaning the dishes means?
It means actually cleaning the dishes. It doesn't mean on cleaning part of the kitchen and...
All right, let me ask you this.
Dishes.
So you've got a plate on the counter that's dirty because you've eaten. What kind of food was it?
English muffins.
Aw.
That sounds good.
All right. So, now what did... Say you've got this...
With the garden burger patties. It was really good.
That sounds good.
So you've got a dish here. It's dirty. What do you do with it? Take me through the whole process.
Okay. So the dishes are dirty.
Yeah.
So they're the plates, and I took the plates and put them in the dishwasher.
Right.
And then there are the pans, and I cleaned all the pans off in the spatula thing.
Right.
And then set it off to the right of the counter to dry, because my mom used to always yell at me not to put wet dishes in the cabinet.
Okay.
That's right.
So the only thing you didn't do is to stick around and wait for the dishwasher to finish its cycle and put them away, but that's because you have a job.
Yeah.
All right.
And because I had to go. Well, and so I set them off to the side of the sink to dry.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I got this huge attitude because I didn't wipe down the entire kitchen and then perhaps do some of his roommate's dishes because that would have been the nice thing.
Did you make breakfast for the roommate?
No.
The roommate's dishes were dirty from earlier?
No, he expected me to go above and beyond.
Now, were the roommate's dishes dirty from earlier in the day, from other food?
Yes.
Well, screw that. You don't have to do that.
I know. No. That's what
it's understood
too.
That when you... No, if... It's one thing that if you have, Laura and I have this agreement where she does the laundry, I do the dishes, I do the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
meaning the counter, the coffee pot, the floor, the whatever. I do the kitchen. She does the laundry. But that's different. You're not agreeing to do the kitchen. You're agreeing to do the dishes, and it's a reflexive agreement, meaning it is only triggered by him making breakfast.
Yeah, and he doesn't even make all of it. I mean, I make part of it, too.
Well, you're not required to do... By that logic, if he made breakfast, but your roommate had a kegger the night before, you would be obligated to clean all the dishes from the kegger, even though they were not related to breakfast.
Yeah, well, he's mad because he says that I only do just the smallest amount that I need to do. I don't go above and beyond, meaning that I don't...
Okay. You know, Nate's kind of the Lara, and you're sort of the Rick.
It's really kind of frustrating because we keep getting this fight about stupid dishes.
Here's the thing is that you, we've
and
made
it's
this.
Never stopping. Does he understand by now that I hate doing the dishes?
I'm picking up on that. Now, see, the great thing about our relationship, Sarah, you and I are both, Rick. You and I are both the man in the relationship. No offense, Nate. You know what I'm saying, brother. Rock. But you know what I'm saying is that Nate has, not unlike perhaps another man he used to date, Nate has certain,
expectations.
No, I'm just digging this in deeper. Nate has certain I don't want to say homemaker tendencies because that sounds emasculating, but you know what I'm talking about. Nate is place for everything, everything in its place.
Yes.
You just let stuff pile up and become fetid and disgusting until flies are circling around it. I know that because
and
I do.
And then I just throw it away.
And then throw it away and buy new crap because I do the same thing. So
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's a fine way to live. Everybody can pound sand if they don't like it.
I understand the kitchen's the heart of the home. That's not for me.
That's what I'm saying. So I just let things pile and stack. And, of course, because Laura and I are still white trash, even though we're just trying to climb out of that pit, but you never really do. So not only are there disgusting dishes with, like you go into our kitchen.
Those little net things.
You go into our kitchen. Here's the sound. That's the sound in our kitchen because it's just like tsetse flies. And plus, then it's like endless cardboard boxes from the many frozen dinners that we have consumed throughout the week. Because we're disgusting. So I have an agreement where I clean the kitchen, she does the laundry. Because you and Nate do not live together, it sounds as though the agreement isn't that you do the kitchen. The agreement is you do the dishes, and you do the dishes related to the meal that he made.
And this is exactly what I say, but he says that he said the exact same thing. What do you think doing the dishes, Sarah, is? And he thinks that doing the dishes involves going a little bit above and beyond if there are other dishes in there, and also wiping down the entire kitchen.
I would agree with him in this case. I would agree with him if, for example, he, while making the meal, made some sort of a mess. In other words, if he's making you eggs or whatever, you've got the dishes, and
yeah,
let's say
eggs and I clean the pan.
He spills a little bit. I'm saying he spills a little bit of something on the counter. I would say that you got to clean that. I would say because it's connected to the meal that he made.
No, and you know what? And he was angrily wiping down the counter this morning.
Angrily wiping down the
counter. Yeah.
There's
and
nothing
there
that sounds manlier than that.
No, and there were these, like, chunks of things that other people had left there, and, like, it was my fault.
Was he wearing an angry apron when he did it?
No, they weren't even messes that I left. I could understand if I had dirtied the counter, I would wipe it up.
If you don't know why this is so funny, I don't want anybody to think we're picking on poor Nate. We sort of are, but if you know Nate, you know why this is funny. It's because Nate is like, you look at him, and it's like it really is like he stepped out of some, like, one of those photo books, like DC Hardcore, 1985, you know? It's like basically a shaven head, covered in tattoos, wearing a padlock around his neck. Every t-shirt he owns is black and has the name of some band that I'm not cool enough to know about.
With the arms ripped off.
With the arms ripped off. He's like clutching, you know, like clutching like a Friedrich Nietzsche book in one hand and like a Chuck Palahniuk novel in the other, and like busy kicking something, you know? And like, you know, and writing, you know, writing like sharp, angular lyrics to some loud song. You know, that's Nate. And so the idea of Nate, quote, angrily cleaning the kitchen is fantastic. It really is genius. And I don't mean that in a mean sort of way. It's just it's an amusing juxtaposition.
So is this something that you can actually get past in your relationship?
No.
Because it seems to keep happening over and over again.
One of you eventually.
I'm never going to like doing the dishes.
That's what I'm saying. One of you eventually has to buckle. One of you eventually has to just be like, fine!
I feel like I have buckled because I take the responsibility to clean everything. I have changed immensely for this person. And I get nothing in response. Nothing!
Tim has forgotten.
Why can't you treat me with the respect I deserve? Because I'm not one of your fans.
I hate dishes.
Oh, no, dishes. I gotta tell, we're down to a whole homemaking discussion here, the Rick Emerson Show. But, no, dishes are one of those things, Matt. Growing up, I would do. And for some reason, when I was a kid, we have Lisa Goddard at 12:30?
No, we have Clyde.
Oh, really? Okay, he can wait.
I think we should change the name of the show to Coffee Chat.
And then he never uses the lemon soap.
It's coffee sauce.
No, but when I was a kid, for some reason, it's a holiday. For some reason, when
I know nobody's listening.
No, I'm just saying. It's,
except for Nate.
I'm sitting here listening.
The show is live today, so the bar is set so low. Like, we don't have to be all that entertaining because everything else is a tedious rerun. Everything else is just Lars, you know, bumping his stupid gums about, you know, about a property tax. So, but when I was a kid, for some reason, it was emptying the dishwasher. And I didn't even do dishes by hand, and we had a dishwasher. But it was emptying the dishwasher, for some reason, was like the most hideous task when I was a kid. And
yep.
Not so much now, but when I was a kid, I would do anything. I would do anything to not have to empty the dishwasher. And now, as an adult, it hasn't gotten any better. It's like you think that you're somehow going to learn to embrace, you know, like, oh, I love to clean the house. But no, it's, you know what it is? Loving to clean the house or thinking you're growing into that, that's like when people tell you, no. Now you start exercising and, you know, you'll get to where you love exercising. Exercising really becomes fun. You know what? Exercising never becomes fun. The people who tell you that are lying to you. Oh, wait. It's the sound of a text message. This text message, we should have to get these sponsored.
What's the number? I don't know what that means.
Oh, is that...
Like, what's the frequency?
It's Nate.
Is Nate looking to call in?
I don't know.
He's only been listening to the show for 4 months. We only say the number 1,000 times a day.
I don't know.
Sorry, that sounded snippy just now. 503-733-2978. My point is this, though. When somebody tells you that exercise is a lot of fun, exercise never becomes fun. What's fun is, you know what it is? Exercising isn't fun. Having exercised that day is what you like.
Yeah.
When you get home and you're like, yeah, I exercised, I bicycled, or I went to the gym, or like, you know, losing weight. That's what you enjoy. The actual exercise is never fun. I had to clean the house yesterday after not having cleaned it for like 2 weeks because my mom was coming over. And of course, Laura goes mental about it. Your mom can't see the house this way. So I got to clean the house. And the whole time, I'm like, stupid house dump. Your mom, you know, completely hating it. So he needs to lose this idea that you're somehow going to become Susie Homemaker.
You know what? I really felt like I've come halfway because I used to not do the dishes ever. And now I'm starting to, like, now we have that balance where
right.
I do them kind of. Like, he expects me to change 100% and him not to change at all.
Yes.
It's very frustrating.
I'm getting lots of relationship advice via email here, but you probably don't want to hear it.
I know.
It's probably nothing you would enjoy listening to. Should we break? Oh, wait, hold on. Let's talk to Don. Hello, Don.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
How are you, Don? How are you doing on this July 3rd?
I love doing dishes.
All right.
Dishes are my life.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing better than doing dishes.
Okay. And you're sensitive and you love your mother and you love to cry. Yeah.
Oh, no, not at all.
Now, are you joshing us with us here, or do you actually love...
No, I love doing dishes. I'm a police officer, but I love doing dishes. There's something so satisfying about doing dishes that when the job is complete, it is a complete job. It is truly something that is done. And you can stand there and look at your work and say, that is good.
Here's the thing. I can't tell if you're screwing with us or not. I really don't.
No, swear to God. When I was, my first job was a dishwasher.
Uh-huh.
And I loved doing dishes. Yeah. I loved doing dishes. And why would anybody do just a few dishes and not all of them? And what's the point of doing dishes when you don't wipe off the counter? the bottom of the dish is usually just as dirty as the top of the dish.
This really has become coffee talk. I don't. We've all become women.
I'd like to know how I can remove stubborn stains from the bottom of my copper pans.
I just don't understand because my wife hates doing dishes.
Well, then you're all set though.
And it's a constant fight, like Sarah and her boyfriend, because I can't understand why would you. Do this.
Well, hold on, Don. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there. Is this Nate on two?
I think so.
Hello, Nate.
Hey, Don's my new best friend. I'm buying that boy some beers.
All right.
Yeah, I don't understand doing only some of the dishes and not the countertops. I mean,
you know, and the stuff I was wiping off angrily, whatever, those were crumbs from the English.
They were not
experiment.
Crumbs.
It is so frustrating to see somebody.
Maybe
you know,
Don and Nate should live together.
I don't put it that way, Rick.
All right. All right. Hold on. Nate, stay there. Don, thank you, sir.
Thanks,
all right. There you go. That's Don.
No, see, that's the thing. Everybody else can do it. Like, his roommate still has pans in there from last night and everything. I leave, like, 4 crumbs on the counter, and he's sitting there like, I can't believe I'm dating you, and just, like, scrubbing the counter so angrily because of crumbs. If you want it done so badly and it doesn't bother me and it bothers you, do it yourself.
See, that's the thing. Now, let me ask you this, Nate. Now, were you expecting her to do dishes from a meal that was not related to the meal you had made?
No.
Yes,
there was like maybe a glass on the counter, and like
it's if
there's
not
an extra glass on the counter, throw it in the dishwasher.
I didn't use it. It's your dishwasher. The plates that we used and the pans that we used, I cleaned everything. I'm not responsible for cleaning up after anybody
else.
I'm
not asking you to do everyone
else's
dishes.
Yes, you are. You do. Yes, you do. You ask me. You're like, well, there are 3 other plates in there. Why don't you just do the 3 other plates?
Having a clean kitchen is a glorious thing.
Yeah, and it's your kitchen. I'm glad that you find it glorious. You've seen my kitchen.
All right.
I understand it's a different thing.
We'll cook at your house.
That's fine with me.
Now, see, I have to say, I have seen Sarah's kitchen many times, and it is disgusting.
Well, it was. With roommates, I'm not.
At her old apartment, I wouldn't walk into the kitchen.
No, it was, and I can say this because mine is the same way, but Sarah's kitchen literally, not now maybe, but when you live by yourself, overflowing with just gross mold, and it was flies, and it was horrible. Trash can.
If you're always one step ahead, you're never 2 steps behind.
I know, but you have to understand that I've changed a lot in my cleanliness habits with you, and I've tried to do dishes, and you expect me to
do
this.
I know.
You expect me to be this completely different person, and then you get this big attitude about it.
I'm not getting an attitude.
You are. You're flailing around and angrily scrubbing the kitchen. We're not doing anything
scrubbing
accomplished.
The kitchen.
So, I got to shop for some curtain rods, yeah. So I got to...
And he's serious,
all right. All right, thank you, Nate.
All right, later.
There you go, thank you. There you go.
Anyone else having problems with the cupcakes sticking to the pans?
Isn't that those little paper things are for?
Well, no, but you know, but here's the thing. Is
there... Oh, I haven't used those. No, here's... Can you suggest, what is your favorite egg?
You know I don't cook.
Okay. And she just, she doesn't, she's like me, she doesn't cook, she thaws. That's it.
I do.
That's what Laura and I do. You know, Laura and I, now to be fair though, Laura has actually started, she has become a very, she cooks a lot more than she used to. But we only have, but you know what it is, but we're sort of, we're so late, but I don't even care. We're sort of manic depressive. We are sort of bipolar. Meaning we will go for long streaks of time. Where we make homemade meals and we'll do the whole thing. It's like we'll make like an entree and like a, you know, whatever, like an appetizer and a dessert and whatever. And you know, and we'll eat really well. And then it's like, and then we'll just sort of fall into the depressive stage of the manic depressive food cycle. And we'll go like a month where everything comes out of a box and has a cheese packet attached to it. And we don't do any dishes. And things just begin to stink.
And the shame is always written on your face when you've eaten pizza like 6 days in a row.
Like today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like where I just come in and I feel all bloated and I feel terrible.
I'm eating Safeway Chinese food because I've wanted it all weekend.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, and of course, Lara's going to be gone. She's going to be camping for 3 days. And those are the worst because we're usually in the same stage where both of us are disgusting or both of us are healthy. But sometimes, and you know this, where like one of you can be a balancing influence on the other. So I'm not even going to have that. So I'm just going to be eating just like Triscuits and like spray cheese, like shooting the spray cheese right into my mouth on the couch while I'm watching Star Wars. That's going to be me for the next 3 days. So I know, but here, my point is this, is that, see, Nate did what so many people did. And it's usually women who do this. And again, I don't mean to disparage Nate in his manhood. I'm just saying
he's proud of how clean
he is. I'm saying that, you know what it is? Nate is a layered man. He is not Nate is a man with many facets to his personality. He is not a stereotypical macho kind of a-hole guy. He is a guy who has some traits that you might typically think to be feminine, but that's not a bad thing. That's okay. He's a well-rounded human being. All I'm saying is he is doing that thing that typically women do, though, where he is attracted to and like lands one person and then wants to be dating someone else. You know what I mean? Not literally dating someone else.
I know.
But it's like, you know, the girl he meets and falls in love with is the girl who never does dishes and eats things out of the box. You know? And then, like, the girl he wants to be with, though, is the girl who scrubs dishes and makes Chateaubriand for him on Saturday. That girl doesn't exist. Not in this room, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, God. What is this? What is line one? Is that a name? A guy can't... No one is named Holy.
I had a friend named Holy in high school.
Maybe this is him. Let's find out. And then we'll get to Clyde Lewis. And we're like 80 minutes behind at a break, but I don't care. Holy.
No, it is Holly.
Oh, Holly. I swear
yeah,
to God.
It's Eric, it's Holly.
Okay, hi, Holly.
Hi. You know me. I bring cookies.
Oh.
Yeah,
Holly with the, you know, with the tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I am also obsessive compulsive, and I am in a relationship where, you know, I have to fight to get the dishes done. I'm thinking maybe it's a situation where Nate's just being strict now because he doesn't want to have to be strict later. You know, kind of train him early.
Oh, I see. This is, okay. This he's trying,
maybe
he's trying
he
to...
wants to live with her at some point and doesn't want to have to deal with it then.
Well, this is a good point because now we've already talked about this. Now, you and Nate, Sarah, you guys did live together at one point.
Yeah, after we've been dating for like 3.5 months.
And then that ended poorly. That ended... Another text message. Let's see. Hold on. There's another text message. Who is this?
My friend Lisa.
Oh, what does Lisa say?
Oh, barbecue at Jay and Lisa's. 4 p.m.
Okay.
Bring your own beer.
Moving on. So, but you and Nate did live together, and it ended badly. For other reasons.
Yeah.
Not around. It wasn't around dishes.
We actually had a pretty good dish
relationship.
When you lived together, did you follow Nate's dish rules?
No, because he had the kitchen.
See, that's the thing.
So wonderfully, I would stick a dirty dish on the counter, it would be gone the next day.
So I think you just gotta, I think the agreement...
Maybe he was sick of that, though. Maybe because, like, you know, when you really like somebody, you kind of put up with it for a while.
Yeah.
And then, it's just like at point, it's just like, okay, you know what, I gotta say something. Because it's either you wait too long, or it's a situation where you just kind of like, you gotta do it right in the beginning and put the... ground rules down.
That's the thing, people turn a blind eye because it's like they love so many other things about the person, and they're like, well, you know what it is? It's sort of like,
and
well, I'll...
And then you just explode and you're wiping the counter angrily.
Yeah, and it's and they kind of say, you know what, I'll fix this part of them later. For now, I'm just going to worry about all the things I love. I'll fix this part of them next year. But
right.
The thing is, you're not going to fix that part of them. Nothing is ever fixed. You are the person you meet and the person you date. That's the person you're going to be living with, not some fictitious version that you're going to be. They are not men and women are not fixer uppers. I mean, this is, you know, like us, everybody says this. It's true. So if Sarah doesn't like doing dishes now, nothing about living together, being married, any of those things, nothing is going to make her love doing dishes.
So you're saying, like, either somebody shouldn't date somebody else just because they don't like doing dishes, though? I mean,
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you gotta go into this assuming that the things you like about the person are going to stay the same, and the things you don't like about the person are probably also going to stay the same.
Yeah.
You got to, I mean, look, it doesn't matter how much you love somebody, there's things about them you don't like, and you can't assume, you have to assume the worst. You know, maybe they'll change, but you got to assume that they won't, because otherwise you're going to be screwed, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess I'm just saying that, like, maybe this is why he's scrubbing the counter angrily, you know?
Yeah,
maybe,
I don't care.
Maybe this is why he's reacting, whether or not it's working out.
That doesn't matter to me, it's just funny, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
All right, Holly, thank you so much.
Bye.
All right, there you go, that's Holly. You remember Holly? Holly, tall, kind of, she has her hair in sort of like Princess Leia braids, really thin, covered
in
tattoos.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay.
She brought us those fantastic cookies at Entercom that one time. All right. Is this Clyde Lewis?
Should we stick him?
Let's just welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. The one, the only, the original, the guy who is scary and also hairy, Clyde Lewis. How are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up with you, brother?
Oh, it's just quiet around here, and, you know, it's a great, great day, beautiful day outside.
Now, you are at work today.
Yes, I am. I'll be working tomorrow, too.
Yes. Now, but you are going to be joining us around 1:30, 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to hurry and get into town so I can join you and hang out with you for the behind the Christmas.
Yeah, but we're going to be, now tomorrow is our annual Christmas in July show, and then it will be climaxing, as it always does, with the playing of Behind the Christmas, and which is an original radio play written and performed by you and me and some other folks.
Are there going to be ribs?
You know, we were talking about this on Friday. People were asking if we were going to be barbecuing pieces of meat out front. And here's the thing. I cannot advocate or condone that because CBS Radio probably is a little more. When we were at Fisher, they just didn't care. When we were at Entercom, I don't think Entercom even really knew we worked there. I think Entercom wanted to buy KWJJ, and we were like the pilot fish that sort of came along attached to it. I don't even really think Entercom knew who we were most of the time we were there.
Right.
And so, when we had a huge parking lot, but that's the other thing. At Fisher, we had a big cement parking lot. At Entercom, we had a huge cement parking lot. Here, I don't even know where we would do cooking.
I don't know either. Probably right out in front of the Coin Building.
No, but I mean, but where? You can't, there's nowhere to do it except in that Quiznos,
Quiznos courtyard.
Patty, yeah, but I don't think they'd be very happy with that.
No.
I don't think Quiznos wants us cooking barbecue like 10 feet away from where they're trying to sell their wares.
Quiznos cater the darn thing. Heck, we could talk about it. If they wanted to cater, it'd be great. I don't know. There's an idea.
Okay.
I don't know what to say.
What's going on in the world of Clyde Lewis?
Hey, now, have you heard about... Now, this is what's really spooky. There's a spooky thing going on right now, and I want to let you all know about it, because this is pretty spooky stuff.
Is this about the asteroid that almost hit us?
Well, that and a number of other things. Okay, first of all, the asteroid that almost hit us. Yeah. Don't think for 1 minute that we're not going to escape having something happen to the Earth with an asteroid passing that close.
Okay.
I mean, if you're a person who reads Velikovsky, who I've read over and over again, Velikovsky said that whenever a body passes through or passes near the Earth starts to reply in kind with either an earthquake, a tidal wave, or some sort of major storm that's going to kick some butt. Now, that usually happens between 2-3 days, maybe even a week after the passing of an asteroid. This happened when Tutatis passed near the Earth, but it was too far away.
When what passed near the Earth?
Asteroid Tutatis passed over the Earth. There were some problems that happened after that. We had the Indonesia problem and all that after that.
Yeah.
So when Indonesia had its tidal wave, it was right after Tutatis or during the time Tutatis passed through. And also Mount St. Helens erupted again when Tutatis passed over the Earth, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
And so when we have something this close, which is within a lunar distance of the planet, we tend to see a lot of repercussions, and it causes a wave which causes the Earth to either tremble or reply in kind. Now, what's interesting to note is that NORAD is on alert. They're on Bravo plus alert right now. No reason why. They just said they were. And then with all the other stuff going on in the world right now where I guess North Korea has basically said that they want to fire at us.
Oh, we have a story about that later. No, North Korea says that we will die a fiery something or other.
Yeah, something.
We're all going to die. Probably.
We're on alert for that too. So, I mean, there's some, projectiles from space are big news right now. And the shuttle itself, I mean, when did the shuttle launch?
Let me ask you this. Did you see this picture of vultures flying around the space shuttle?
Well, you know, what's really scary about
fantastic.
That is they always fly around the space
That's
shuttle.
Great.
It's like the space shuttle is like this I guess you could say, missile of death. You know, the vultures all fly around it.
They're trained by Al-Qaeda.
The Al-Qaeda vultures. Yeah.
The Al-Qaeda vultures.
There was a shot on CNN today of like, you know, here's a picture of the shuttle as it gets ready to launch, and literally there's just like 8 or 9 vultures just sort of slowly circling around. Imagine being inside the shuttle and you're in that, you know, and you look outside and there's just vultures looking
with
in the window.
With a big grin.
They're all circling around you waiting to, you know, pull your eye sockets and take your eyes out.
That's Clyde who said that.
Hold on, tenderizer.
Yeah, you know, the shuttle mission is supposed to be, and it's 1 in 100 chance of them dying.
Yeah.
Even if they do all the repairs that they say they're going to do, there's still 1 in 100 chance of them dying.
Again. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Happy 4th of July is another thing. I mean, you all heard about Superman, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Superman no longer is for truth, justice, and the American way.
Oh, no, he's for all that stuff.
He's for all that stuff, and the reason why is because the marketers of Superman decided they didn't want to put that into the movie because America, the American way, means something totally different now.
I didn't even really notice it, actually. When I was watching the film, until it was pointed out by Drudge, I didn't even really notice that he didn't say that. I thought it was just sort of Perry White having a brain lapse or something.
Yeah, well, you know, I think what that is that's some conservative... horse hockey that they just want to, you know, it's back to there's a war on Christmas and there's a war, you know, on Jesus and, you know, they're all trying to think that we're all persecuted and we're all in this horrible, horrible way. And
you are not bringing the room up today, Clyde.
I'm trying to get to that
point. Jesus. We're all going to die. Vultures will pull at your eye sockets.
No, you said the vultures around the shuttle. Well, there are vultures around the shuttle. They're there every time you launch a shuttle. It's kind of a spooky ordeal that they have them up there.
It is kind of creepy.
But there's I don't know if there's anything positive to talk about today. I mean, I try.
Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen.
I guess there's a lot of beer and Skittles for everybody for the 4th of July and a lot of fireworks everywhere, and that's something I'm looking forward to.
Are you doing your Dante's thing tonight?
Yes, I am. I'll be speaking at Dante's tonight, and, you know, believe it or not, I really have a lot of things to talk about, but I don't know where I want to focus, only that maybe I'll talk about what it means to be an American. I don't know, nationalism or Americanism, whether or not you're a nationalist or you're a patriot, and a lot of people are confusing the two, and I think people need to pay attention to what that is, because when they say things like, you know, America, right or wrong, I still support my country, that what they're really saying is similar to my mother, drunk or sober, I still support her. So, I mean...
Who says that?
People say that all the time. You see bumper stickers say America, right or wrong. You know,
okay.
It's like they're behind it all the way, and it's like you need to pay attention to what's happening.
All right. ClydeLewis.com. Are you talking about the satellite or the asteroid business on your website?
I think I'm going to talk about that. I mean, there's so many things to talk about because there's so many things that, you know, this is my world. So, I mean, it's like it's a lot of things in the news now that are all ground zero news stories. It's not like I'm talking out of my head anymore, out of my hat. I mean, these things are really happening, and I think people need to pay attention to them. And I think that, you know, it's funny because I go into 7-Eleven. I went into 7-Eleven and got myself a coffee the other day, and I was talking about Matt Haley's new comic book called G.I. Spy. And I'm saying, oh, this is such a cool comic book because it talks about Nazi saucers and this guy who's wearing his bike helmet. And he goes, are you Clyde Lewis? I said, yes. He goes, listening to you on Rick is such a treat. Nazi saucers. I can't believe you're talking about
You really are a whole different flavor in this. You are the prize packet in this Cracker Jack box of the radio show.
So.
All right.
So.
Clyde Lewis tonight at Dante's, and find out more at ClydeLewis.com. And we'll see. We'll have you in studio tomorrow, Clyde.
Yes, I'll be there.
All right. See you then.
All right. Bye-bye.
Clyde Lewis. All right. This is a good time to take a break. We'll be back after this. Here's the Descendants. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It is July 3rd. Back after this. Don't go anywhere.
We flipped our finger to the King of England. The dollar coming from the Indians. We got our side and guns in our hands.